Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. We are back a week plus since the Christmas show. Now it's a New Year's show, and it's actually New Year's Day here at One Bills Drive.
Yes, we are here in our favorite hallway outside of the Bills media room recording this episode of the podcast. It is New Year's Day. No weird schedule this week like they did on Christmas. I don't think they felt like they needed to take the day off for New Year's Day like they did for Christmas Day. So business as usual here. It's a Wednesday walkthrough. Hear from Sean McDermott, players afterwards, two practices this week, Thursday, Friday, and then the regular season finale.
I'm actually, shout out to all the media who made it down here for New Year's Day. I didn't think we'd have this this group. This is a nice commitment by everybody.
New Year's Day is not. I
figured, like, I'm going to use you as an example. I'd be like, well, Matt's like the sports director. He'd be like, nah, I'm going to take the day off. It's New Year's Day. It's a holiday. But, you know, shout out. We got everybody down here.
Well, you know what the interesting thing is? My wife and I had this conversation. I took off New Year's Eve. I feel New Year's Eve is the more important day to be off and just give yourself the flexibility and the freedom. So I took off New Year's Eve, which then meant I had to work New Year's Day, which I'm totally cool with. I just never been a big New Year's guy. And I think most people are kind of in the same boat.
So you never, did you go out for New Year's Eve?
I mean, we had like a little kiddie ball drop with our daughter and her friends.
Before midnight though.
Yeah. Seven o'clock. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's the London time. You did London New Year's here in Buffalo. Happy New Year. Hopefully everybody had a great time out there. We stayed home as well. I watched the Sabres, unfortunately, lose again, and some college football. And then we just kind of bumped around and actually fell asleep before midnight, which has been the customary thing to do here as I get older. All right, let's get right to it. The Bills, we got an injury update from Sean McDermott today here on a Wednesday practice, which will be a walkthrough, which is a normal operating procedure. We know that on Sunday, the game means nothing for the Bills in the standings, and they're going to start Josh Allen, and then he's going to come out quickly. That will keep his consecutive start streak alive, which is at 114. That'll be 115 games. In the meantime, we did get some news today that we have to be a little bit cognizant of going forward, which is middle linebacker Terrell Bernard.
All right, so middle linebacker Terrell Bernard has a leg injury. This leg injury, Sean McDermott characterized as somewhere between week to week and day to day. Actually, he said it the other way. He said somewhere between day to day and week to week.
And then he added, but more like day to day.
And I took that as there's not a chance that he's going to play, because why risk it? And that they are just fully focusing on getting him ready to go for next week. It sounded like if they needed to win this game, Terrell Bernard would probably be available. So not great news, right? But it also didn't seem to me like this is going to be somebody they're going into the playoffs without. They're just going to have to figure out a plan for this week.
All right. So yeah, let me just kind of temper everybody here for a second. You're getting a little bit, oh my God, I can't believe it. Terrell Bernard, middle linebacker. Last year, he got hurt. I will say he finished the game.
Yep.
Okay. Sean McDermott said on Monday there were no new injuries to report, which can happen. Then something flares up, which might have been the case. They show up on Wednesday like, hey, he's dealing with this. Let's just back off him. I agree with what Matt said. We know he's not going to play. McDermott confirmed that. It sounded to me more like, hey, we're just going to take every precaution, get him ready. Folks, I'm here to tell you my prediction. there's no way in heck Terrell Bernard is not playing at the first playoff game here at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, especially when you consider last year how vocal he was about trying to get back out onto the field for the Chiefs game and him just doing everything he could but not being able to go. I think that they are going to be, if you've got a stubbed toe, if you've got a little bit of a bruise, I think they're going to be overcautious with all of their starters for this game and just let a bunch of backups and then the practice squad guys we'll talk about play in this game. So I think they're just being overly cautious.
Okay, so the Bills have kind of an interesting situation roster-wise and numbers-wise to deal with. I asked Sean McDermott specifically, what does it look like at quarterback? Because let's think about this for a second, Matt. We know that Josh is going to start. He's going to come out of the game.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky is going to go in. You don't even want Josh to be the backup because if something happened to Mitch, now Josh has to play. However, with the numbers and with people being banged up, and we also have to include the limited guys today, which are
Taylor Rapp,
Tamar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, three safeties, and Curtis Samuel. Yep. So you're going to have to massage the numbers with the practice squad. You only get two practice squad elevations. Sean said, we probably can't do that with Mike White. They're still looking at it. So that means you're going to get Mitch Trubisky for pretty much the whole game after Josh exits, and Josh will become kind of the backup quarterback, which I would imagine if something happened to Mitch, you're just having Josh go in and hand it off or run Wildcat for the rest of the day.
I was going to say you're just going to probably put like Ty Johnson back there and just take snaps out of the Wildcat. I think it's interesting because going into today, before our Wednesday press conference, I thought we would see a series or two from Josh Allen. After hearing Sean today, I don't get that sense. I think he's going to play like maybe a play.
I agree. My prediction has been three plays all week.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, he might. And for the sake of the bit, if he's going to do that, if they're going to do that, I want him to kneel. I don't want him to hand it off. I want him to come in, get a snap and shotgun, take a knee, walk off the field, put on a baseball hat.
I don't know if they would want to do that or he would.
No, he won't do that. No. He's going to turn around and hand it to James Cook or throw like a really quick pass or something. Okay. That's what's going to happen.
I'm glad you brought up James Cook because is he a guy?
Setting you up for,
okay,
yes.
That's good because I'm going to tell you this. There's no way the starting offensive line's not playing if Josh Allen's in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think
right? they're all playing.
I think the goal with the first drive is to get James Cook 20 yards so he surpasses 1,000 yards. And obviously, you know, if they end up in the red zone or something, I think their goal would be to get James Cook a rushing touchdown because then he would tie the record previously set by O.J. Simpson. And, like, let's just call a spade here. They want somebody to take that record. Yes. I know it would take two to get past it, but he would at least tie it.
Okay, so there are some people, a lot of people, Bills fans right now listening or watching this wherever you pod or Sal Sports YouTube channel saying, no. Why would you even put James Cook on the field at this point? Mm-hmm. There's no reason. Heck with 1,000 yards, Matt. That's what a lot of people are probably thinking right now.
Yeah, oh, I totally get that. And I feel that way about Josh. But I don't know if I feel that way about James Cook. I know weird things could happen, and I don't want to pin myself in a corner here, but I would imagine he wants to get the 1,000 yards, and I'm sure he would probably want to get the record. Now, if you noticed me 3 minutes ago looking at my phone, I was looking because Nick Sirianni just said that they're going to rest some guys, and it does not sound like Saquon is going to have a chance at the record, which is the right decision, right, for a team that's going into the playoffs. So you could make the argument the exact same way for the Bills. Why would James Cook play? You've got all these other running backs that are super good. Just use them. I agree, but I do think 19 yards is an attainable thing for a running back. I mean, that's probably four or five plays for him against this defense. Maybe you can do it in one. You know what I mean?
Especially against a Patriots defense that might actually be playing some backups as well. I mean. We're going to get into them in 1 second. I do want to take a look at the roster. I'm bringing this up. Matt and I are looking at it. You can find the tweet at Sal Sports. I tweeted out the fact that Bills only get two practice squad elevations. And let's remember, tight end Zach Davidson and wide receivers Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil are out of elevations. Yes, Jalen Virgil is out because even though he was signed to the practice squad and released, it does not matter. They do not reset. So what are the Bills looking at here? I'm looking at the offensive line and saying, wait a minute, if you want to bring all starters out, you only have four reserves. You're going to need somebody like Will Clapp to come in on the offensive line. You have no linebackers to elevate anyway. We're going to see a lot of Joe Andreessen, Eddie Ulofosio, Nicholas Morrow, I think, in this game. Uh-huh. But you might have to elevate a safety like Lewis Cine or Kareem Jackson, considering where your safety group is. Or what do you want to do with your defensive end or edge group, Matt? Because you don't want to necessarily play Von Miller or Greg Rousseau. I mean, you got some decisions to make.
Yeah, you got decisions to make. What I think they would do right now is I think their practice squad elevations would be Will Clapp and KJ Hamler. That is my guess. Now, the reason I say KJ Hamler is because we don't know the availability of Curtis Samuel, and I could see them just basically running the entire game, but probably wanting somebody not named Keon Coleman or Matt Collins available. I'm like, safe bet, we probably don't see Khalil Shakir, we probably don't see Amari Cooper, but Matt Collins has been used in a lot of situations, so I don't know how much you want him out there. So that's why I'm going with Hamler, because obviously he's got the elevations left. That's somebody who makes sense. And Will Clapp, you need to bring up an offense. That's, to me, like the non-starter. There's going to be an offensive lineman activated from the practice squad for this game. I just don't know who it will be. My guess is it's Will Clapp, just so you have a situation where you don't have to have one of your starters out there in the lineup. And even then, you're going to have to be creative, right? Even then, Will Clapp or somebody might have to play a little bit out of position and just have five guys in a row there.
We also know Micah Hyde will not play in this game.
Yes.
Sean said that on Monday.
So no Micah Hyde. Doesn't seem like we will ever now see Micah Hyde, which, you know, is just kind of the way that it's been trending probably the last couple weeks. So to me, I'm looking at the safety position, and I know that Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp are both questionable for this game. I think we see in this game Cam Lewis and Cole Bishop, and then I think if something happens, then you probably...
Well, he did say, let's remember Monday, Sean said he'd like Damar Hamlin and Curtis Samuel to be able to play in this game to get a little some reps in.
That's a good point. You brought up a good point about Damar. I think Damar probably, if he's available, Damar probably does play for a bit of this game. Also, interesting comment today about Cole Bishop.
I liked it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, interesting comment. So he was asked if, not to peel off of one topic and go on.
No, that's right. Independent of the injuries here, yeah. This is just straight up play situation.
Yeah, so he was asked if Cole Bishop has earned a greater role or an expanded role on the defense, and he said, we'll see, and then said he really, really likes the progress that Cole Bishop has made over the course of this season. I don't think they would make a change now. I really don't at this point in the season. But his answer didn't close the door on that either, right? Like, is there a world where it's Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp as their two starting safeties going into the playoffs? Is it likely?
No. I just think about 8 years Sean McDermott has been here. Mm-hmm. The one word that comes to mind, trust.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a rookie still. And I think what Damar Hamlin has done this year to play on the back end with Taylor Rapp and to keep everything in front, the Bills are still like leading the league, I believe, still. I know they were a couple weeks ago, in fewest number of 20-plus yard pass plays allowed.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a good job back there trusting. He just keeps everything in front of him. Cole Bishop is a little more risk-reward because he's not – he's more the guy you're going to put up a little bit more in the box. He's going to play against the run a little bit. He does a good job. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just am leaning towards, I don't think they're doing that right now.
I agree, but I don't know what else they would do with him. And that's the interesting thing of a we'll see instead of a no, not at this point, because we'll see. Like, what are you going to do, right? It's not like you're taking Taron off the field. I mean, we've even had conversations about if they're going against the Ravens that they might play a little bit more like base 4-3.
Well, can I tell you what I think we'll see means? He literally is meaning he's going to choose one or the other to start and play.
Yeah, well, I mean, and maybe do you think that this week has any sort of bearing on that? Because it shouldn't, right? If it's not Drake May and you don't have other starters out there, I feel like that's not fair to either of them.
Probably not. You're probably right. And Damar is recovering from the injury. But look, it's good to have options. It's good to have Cole Bishop, who, by the way, he also said he's been impressed over the last 4 weeks of what he's done. So I'm interested in seeing how all that plays out as the team goes forward. All right. So on Saturday, the New England Patriots are in a position where if they lose, they could secure the number one overall pick. Gerard Mayo says they might even rest Drake May. It sounds to me, he says he's been in contact with ownership. Sounds to me like, you know, ownership telling him, hey, you're going to stick to the plan if you want to stick around here.
Yeah,
right? And the plan is to not win. But man, I just think that is such a tough, tough thing to do for any coach to go to. What is he going to do? Is he going to tell Christian Gonzalez, don't have an interception, we're trying to lose? Uh-huh. Is he going to tell the guys who've worked their tails off all year, his careers, this is what they do? They're trying to put stuff on film. They're trying to get paid. They're trying to stay in the league and say, hey, we're going to not try and win. You can't do that. And I think he would lose so much respect in that locker room even for going that route.
I don't think it's that you're trying to lose. It's that you're not doing everything you can to try and win. That is what I would imagine is going through his head and maybe the head of some of the upper level of management. It's kind of, it's different because it's one game, but it's always what I thought about the Sabres all those years ago. Yeah. With, I don't think the players on the ice are trying to lose.
Of course not.
Of course not.
And I don't think the coach is trying to lose.
But I don't think they're given the resources or the pieces or players or talent.
Man, how does that look in a one game situation? So take me into this. So it's fourth down and whatever. Is he literally making the decision that hurts his team more than helps his team because of that?
No, but I think it might be coming from above him of just not starting Drake May. Maybe they're like, we want to make sure that Drake May is healthy going into this offseason. So just that decision alone probably is setting them up for failure in this one individual game. And if that's the message that he sends to his team, listen, guys, Drake's our best option, but he's our best option for the future. We need him healthy for an entire offseason. We're going to let him sit down this game. I don't know what that's received. And it's a double-edged sword, too, because he could look back at them. He's not. I understand how locker rooms work. He could be like, we're in this position because you guys stink. Like, he's not going to do that. But if the players are like, I lost all respect for this team, he could say, I lost all respect when I watched you play all of those games that you lost.
God, that's amazing.
I mean, is it wrong?
No, I just – a couple of years ago, Brian Flores allegedly was asked to tank at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm not doing that. And I respect the hell out of Brian Flores for that. You have a locker room of 53 players. You're saying every day you go out there to put your career in front of people and on the line, that you can't ever do something that compromises them being in that position to try and win.
I agree with it. I wouldn't do the same thing. If I was a coach and I was like, hey, you got a tank. No, like, we're in this together. We're going to try and win. It's how you feel about Brian Daboll last week, right? Like, Brian Daboll might not have a job next year. So he's probably like, hell yeah, we're going to win this game. I don't care about the future. Same thing with Joe Shane. It's like, I don't know if he's going to stay. I'm sure organizationally it makes more sense to lose the game, right? Yeah. But the team is different than sometimes the organizational viewpoint on things.
No doubt.
So that's why
there are definitely people in the Patriots organization who would like to lose this game. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I would
go a step further, and I'll say if you're the Bills in this game because you want to win the game, you want Mr. Trubisky to win the game. Yeah, you want to get out healthy. You know what? Fine, Patriots. I don't care if you get the number one pick. You already have your quarterback. You got to make the good picks anyway. Who cares? I hope the Bills go out there, Mr. Trubisky, Mike White, whoever it is, and puts up 50 on them. That's what I hope.
I go the other way, and I would say there's not really a benefit unless you believe that the backups winning will lead to some sort of benefit in the playoffs, which I don't know if I feel that way. It would be more advantageous to lose this game. But how?
So what? They get the number one pick. Look, the Jets have had high picks every year, and the Browns have had. Does not matter. Who are they going to pick? Travis Hunter? Great. Go get him. Get an offensive lineman? Great. They're going to trade down for a bunch of picks. They already have their quarterback. They're not getting the next, you know, great stud coming out of college.
No, I know, but it gives you a position to have a lot more, because they're already in a really – the Patriots, as far as the division are concerned, are set up the second best. It's the Bills, and then it's the Patriots, because they've got a young quarterback. They've got a lot of flexibility with cap space. They're going to have assets. If they get the number one overall pick, maybe like the Raiders is a team that's like, we need to draft a quarterback. We want Shadur. We're going to give you two ones and a two to move up and get that pick. Now, all of a sudden, the Patriots have two first-round picks and a second-round pick in addition to all of the cap space. That is how you surround a young quarterback.
I agree from their perspective.
An immense level of talent.
But I'm not worried about it from a Bills perspective for them.
See, I don't...
The Dolphins went through the same thing when they just traded for the Trey Lance trade. With the Niners went up and got him. Where's that gotten them?
For who?
When they traded with the Niners, the Dolphins had this high pick. The Niners went up to get Trey Lance and gave him all these draft picks. Who cares?
That's who they
traded. Yes.
The Dolphins? Oh, I don't remember it being the Dolphins. I just remember the Tua draft, the year that he went, what, five? And then
pretty positive it was the Dolphins. I'll look back. But my point is, you still have to do it right. And I'm not convinced. I don't care. Go up. I hope the Bills go out there and just beat them down. Because you know what? That's just – it's nothing negative on the Bills other than, yes, indirect effect of the Patriots getting the number one pick. And I'm not worried about that.
I am treating this weekend – like a preseason game. The most important thing is do not get hurt. Nobody get hurt. That is far and away the most important thing. The second most important thing is, I don't know, just like have a good game plan for, I don't even know what the second most important thing is. 49ers traded.
No, this was when they traded him in this year.
I was going to say. So
I'm trying to figure out where did they.
Who did they trade with?
Who did they trade with? Trade for Trey Lance. Here we go. 49ers, Trey Lance, number three pick in the NFL draft. It was the number three pick. I'm pretty positive it was the Miami Dolphins. Let's revisit this just for a second. 49ers, Trey Lance, number one pick. They traded away first-round selection, scheduled pick number 12 overall. And sorry, folks, we're trying to read through this right now. But either way, it doesn't matter. We'll have to figure that out. But I'm pretty sure it was the Dolphins when they did it. Either way, let's go to the AFC playoff picture. I wanted to get this in before we went on out of here because I have a question for you. Okay. All right. I'm going to bring this up right now. Matt and I are looking at the standings. Uh-huh. Okay. I'll just say it in simplest terms. Who would you give a better chance to beat Baltimore in round one?
The Chargers.
The Steelers or the Chargers? Really? Even though the Steelers kind of have beaten them quite a bit in their division opponents.
I think the best outcome for the Bills this weekend. Well, I shouldn't say that. The best outcome for the Bills this weekend would be the Ravens losing and the Steelers winning, and then the Steelers win the division, and then the Ravens are probably the 5 or the 6 seed, but trying to avoid them as long as possible. But if things go relatively chalk, like it looks like they're going to go right now, I think the Chargers are more capable of beating the Ravens than the Steelers are. I know the Steelers have given them a hard time, but I think of it almost more like the Patriots giving the Bills a hard time. And then in the wild card game, they were absolutely unbelievable. Yes, you were right about Miami. So
Houston and Miami were involved in this.
Yeah. So
Houston and Miami, remember Miami? That was the Laremy Tunsil stuff that went on. Miami, I think, had the original, had that third pick overall, and San Francisco wound up trading him. Anyway, I don't think it's helped Miami a ton to this point either.
You would make the argument you'd rather see the Ravens play the Steelers.
Ooh, no, I think you're right. I think
the Chargers can beat the Ravens.
I think they can too. In fact, I'm going to take a step further and say, okay, here's the deal. Here's why I ask. Right now, folks, okay, we know Kansas City, Buffalo, 1-2. We know Houston, 4. 3 is almost definitely going to be the Baltimore Ravens. They can lock that in Saturday. Okay, that means they will play the 6th seed. Well, 5 right now is Pittsburgh, and 6 is the Chargers. They're tied in record. Uh-huh. If the Steelers lose this week to the Bengals, which is possible, and the Chargers beat the Raiders, suddenly the Steelers go to 6 and the Chargers go to 5. I think Pittsburgh would have a shot at Baltimore. I agree, probably the Chargers, Harbaugh would have a better shot. But the reason I would still prefer the Chargers to be there,
because you think they'd beat Kansas
City. I think they have a better shot of beating Kansas City than Pittsburgh would if Pittsburgh would have won that game.
Yeah, that's fine. Right? I mean, it's kind of like picking your poison of where you think. It's more about, for the Bills, I think the favorable thing than, you know, the help that happens along the way. Because I agree with your point. If the Chargers are the 5 seed and everything goes chalk, then all of a sudden the Chiefs are playing the Chargers. That's a team that they've got had really 2 tough games against this year. But then that sets you up with playing against the Ravens. Now, if you think the Bills can beat the Ravens, then you want a tougher opponent for the Chiefs in the second round than a cakewalk into the AFC Championship. Or you could give yourself, theoretically, an easier path to the AFC Championship, but the Chiefs also get a cakewalk. So it just kind of depends on what you prefer. For me, there's 2 things that I'm thinking about this weekend. I'm thinking about, you don't want to see the Bengals. Now, I still think the Bills will beat the Bengals if they have to play them, but you don't want to see them. You don't want to tempt fate with Joe Burrow because they could come in here and score 40 points. The other thing is, you want to see, right, like the Ravens lose and the Steelers win. That would be fantastic.
That'd be amazing. Like, because let's remember Saturday. We all know Saturday. Oh. The schedule is Saturday that the Ravens play the Browns in Baltimore. The Ravens should take care of business, and they clinch 3. But you're right. If weird things were to happen, and we have seen weird things in Week 18, no doubt around the league over the years. Remember the year that Fitz went to New England and denied them the 1 seed? He was a Miami Dolphins quarterback, and he denied them the 1 seed by going to, and that's how Kansas City got it that year, but New England still beat Kansas City in the playoffs a few weeks later. Weird things have happened in week 18. Bengals-Steelers at night. If you're the Steelers, let me ask you this now, okay? All right, so I know we're going to be wrapping up here, and we got to get out to practice.
Carson Wentz will start for the Chiefs on Saturday.
Okay.
Or Sunday. Not that that's a shock, but just an important update.
Okay, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right, would you rather be the 5 seed or the 6 seed? Now, I'm not suggesting Mike Tomlin will want to lose, okay? But he was asked, if the Ravens lock it up and you know you can't win the division, do you play the game any differently because you could start resting guys?
Yes.
And his answer was, it's not really how I do things. Well, he didn't close the door, but he pretty much said, that's not what we're going to do. Uh-huh. He also knows if they do that, they give a kind of a little red carpet to Cincinnati probably making to the playoffs, and or at least a chance to make the playoffs. But if you're the Steelers, don't you want to win this game?
Yes,
because you want to play
the Houston Texans.
Yes.
You want to play the Houston Texans a heck of a lot more than you want to play the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
So that's why, to me, when the schedule came out, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, if Pittsburgh, this game is meaningless, they're not going to play. And I'm like, no, there's 2 reasons why they're not going to play. 1, they would much rather play Houston. And 2, they don't want Cincinnati. They don't want another AFC North team to go into the playoffs. There's no way they're going to do that. So that's, to me, why that game is not, you know, regardless of what happens in the first game, that game I don't think is going to be meaningless. I think that game is going to be very meaningful in a game that a lot of Bills fans are watching very closely.
All right, finally, are you convinced Denver will win and become the 7 seed and come here to Buffalo in 2 weeks?
No, I'm not, which is concerning. I'm not convinced. I know they're a huge favorite. You know the line? Did you look it up?
I did not.
What do you think it is? This is a fun game.
I would say the Broncos are favored by 6.
More.
7.5.
More.
10.
Yeah.
Wow, that is huge.
It was floating between 9.5 and 10. So, I mean, they are a massive, massive favorite. They should win. But like you said, weird things sometimes happen in week 8. I remember sitting last year in my hotel in Miami waiting to leave for the stadium, but not being able to leave because I needed to see the end result of the Titans-Jags. And the Jags were a big favorite in that game against the Titans. And if they won, they punched their ticket to the playoffs. And they lost. And that clinched the Bills a trip to the playoffs, but not the division, before we went to the game. And I would have never seen that outcome coming, right, ever. So I feel like, you know, never say never. Like, that could happen in one of these games.
I agree 100%. Week 18, crazier things have happened. How about the crazy thing last week, week 17, with the Colts losing to the Giants the way they did?
Let me ask you one thing. Rank them in order of most favorable to least favorable. Would you go Broncos, Dolphins, Bengals, or would you go Dolphins, Broncos, Bengals?
Most favorable, Broncos.
I agree.
Sure. Second most, I say Dolphins only because I think this hip injury is something with Tua.
Yeah, for sure.
And even though I have been very much like, I'm not like you are with the Dolphins necessarily, but I do think it's a tough matchup. It's a division matchup, and they've come up here and they've played well in the cold, right? So I don't want that. And then I would say, Bengals are probably second just because of their firepower. If you give me, Dolphins are probably second. Mm-hmm. But if you give me a really, if I know for sure that if Tua's healthy, I don't want to see them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it took a 61-yard kick from Tyler Bass to beat him in Buffalo like a month and a half ago. I know they're bad in the cold. I know they're not good against good teams. But once again, I think avoiding offensive firepower, and I like some of the things that the Broncos have done this year, but it is important to know that going into the fourth quarter against the terrible Bengals defense, they had 10 points. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that this is an offensive juggernaut team. The other thing there is, I think for the Bills, you want to avoid really elite running backs. I like some of the players on Denver, but I like them a lot less than I like Achane. And then obviously the Bengals just kind of are loaded with talent offensively.
Well, maybe it will be a Bills-Broncos preview the next time we talk to you next week. But as this week goes on, enjoy the games on Saturday. And you might hear from us again later this week, or at least definitely after Sunday night's game. All right, we're going to get out to practice here in a little while. You got anything else?
No. Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.